Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today we are talking about the upcoming Publish, Promote, and Profit Writers Workshop, which is hosted by two dynamic ladies in the book industry, Pam Perry, an award-winning publicist, and national best-selling author Kimberly Brooks. I'll be on the air with just one of the dynamic duo, Pam Perry, because Kimberly wasn't able to join us, but I know she's with us in spirit, and we'll start the conversation right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Noble's on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And you're tuned in to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. And my guest today is award-winning publicist Pam Perry, who, along with national best-selling author Kimberly Brooks, is hosting the Publish, Promote, and Profit Writers Conference this Saturday, September 24th. And I believe I've got Pam Perry on the line. Pam, is this you?
Yes, I am. And Kim Brooks is actually on the line as well. She said that there wasn't
a
way
for
her to get. So you see her number as well. She's a 313 number.
What a surprise. Kimberly Brooks, is this you?
I'm the 52. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, that's Kim.
Okay.
All right.
Hi.
Kimberly, what a surprise. You know, you surprised
me.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad
great.
I was able to be on.
I'm glad, too. We can open this up a little bit more. This is wonderful. So,
perfect.
I'm going to ask, because I formed all my questions for Pam, but I'm just going to trust and adjust right here and right now. Between the two of you combined, there is about 20 years of experience in the book publishing industry. And Pam, you're the publicist, you're the PR guru, you're a master, and Kimberly, the author of several best-selling Christian novels, including He's Fine, But Is He Saved? And She That Finds It. So, ladies, I want to know, how did you two busy women come together to put on this conference? And anybody can, either of you can start that conversation.
Well, I'm going to let Kim say that because it was really her idea. She said,
we ought to do a conference. And I said, okay. And from there, she said, when are we going to do the conference? So, Kim, you go on.
Okay, take it away, Kim.
That was it, definitely, because there are so many authors, especially in Detroit, because I do, as a book coach, I do something every year online, at least once a year online, to kind of, and it's more like a national thing when it's online, but I'm like, you know what, there are a lot of people here in Detroit that are authors, writers community, that want this information as well, and it's always good to be able to get together so they can get that hands-on, you know, in-person information. So it's really to share with authors whether, you know, they have a book idea and not sure how to publish it, or whether they have a book but they kind of are stagnant in their sales and trying to take it to the next level and even national bestseller status. I'm going to share my journey. Pam's going to share promotions and marketing, and we're just going to pour out and share that information so writers can go to that next level. Because it is a professional career. Authoring is a professional career. And sometimes we just get stuck in what we can do ourselves when really there's a plethora of information out there for publishing that people just don't know. And like the scripture says, we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. So Pam Perry and I are going to get together, and we're going to share that knowledge with upcoming authors and local authors and show them how to go to that next level.
That is wonderful. And I love what you said, that authoring or being an author is a professional career. Let's stop right there just for a minute, because, you know, as writers, sometimes you just want to write the book, right? You want to write the book and you want somebody else to do all the other books, the other work, or maybe you don't even think about what should be coming next after you get that book out, because the game is really changing these days. So let's talk about the business of being a professional author, having that professional author's career.
Right. Well, and that's really where it comes in terms of actually just having a platform. An author needs a platform, not just for a book, but for all of the things that they're going to do communication-wise, whether they are going to speak, whether they're going to have other products, whether they're going to do workshops, whether they're going to have some kind of other product. I mean, the whole thing is about really being the whole entire lifestyle brand. So Kim can talk about her platform and all the other things that she does, as well as writing a book.
Right, because, like, for my platform is Abstinence Till Marriage, so whatever God has me produce, whether it's a book, whether it's a play that I'm working on, or whether it's a song, it all has that message of promoting celibacy, promoting abstinence. So that's because when you write a book, you're an expert. You're automatically assumed to be an expert at whatever you write. So you want it to be about a subject that you're passionate about, that you have some expertise in, and that you want to share your message to the world. And I wanted to add to what Pam had mentioned about when you have a platform, especially as an author, you don't want to be just a one-book wonder. You want to keep writing, especially when we talk about professional career. You have to keep plugging out books. I mean, I remember, I think I read on Rashonda Tate Billingsley's page that she didn't become a full-time author until her seventh book. So it's not like an overnight success. It's something you have to keep plugging at, keep doing, and God's going to keep giving you ideas, whether you do nonfiction or fiction. You're going to keep getting those ideas. And I remember I talked to David Talbert, too. He was here last year, and he does workshops for actors, and we shared a table together years ago at the library here in Detroit. And I will never forget what he said to me. He said, always work on your body of work. Keep working at it. Keep building your body of work. And that's what we do as writers. We don't just write one book. You keep writing. You keep going. So,
right. And on that subject, it just brought another question to mind, because, Kimberly, you said your platform is abstinence before marriage, and that's yours. That's ongoing. But sometimes authors, they have different subjects that they write about. One author may do a couple of fiction novels, right? And then she may switch over to a nonfictional subject. So that's like, you know, how do you jump from, you've got to jump from your platform of being a novel writer to a nonfiction writer. And so the platforms change.
Mm-hmm. Well, the platform doesn't change. You may change because you have to remember your audience. So if you're building a following, mm-hmm. and like for me, I write to singles. If I come out with a recipe book, you know, then my initial following is going to be single. So there's only a small percentage that may be interested in a recipe book. So it's kind of like now if you switch and you do a whole nother subject, now you have to build a whole nother following and a whole nother platform because your platform is basically what you're building from. And so that's why Pam often encourages having that core message to build from. So that way, whatever you come out with now, the beauty behind it is if you build a large enough following who is hungry for whatever you produce, if it, it's good if it makes sense subject-wise to switch, but, you know, then you still have to build on another subject. So what do you think about that, Pam?
I kind of give an example like Michelle McKinney Hammond. Michelle McKinney Hammond is really well-known in her market. She writes a lot of books about being single and being Christian and that whole platform of you know, dating and that sort of thing, being a single. So, I mean, tons of books about relationships, probably, I don't know, Michelle probably has like 20, 30 books, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
then
yeah.
all of a sudden she wrote a novel, which was kind of different, and people received it. And then she also wrote a book about, because she's really into her pets. She has a dog. She has a couple of dogs, actually. And she said what her dogs taught me about life or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, if she had did that, like, when book number 3 or 4, people would have been like, what? But because it was her, it was like whatever Michelle was serving, people would say, I want to partake in that. Because by then, her brand was already established. So it was okay.
Yeah, that's
she
great.
She can branch
that's
out.
Great.
And then she also has branched out into singing. She also has a CD. And she's also branched out into doing movies as well, obviously from the novel and that sort of thing. So once you kind of build a platform and you build from that and build a following, people are familiar with your core message, then just like product extension, then you could extend into other products. And that's really what she did. So I think, you know, you got to grow.
And you know what? That makes sense because I just thought about even when you can cross genre, you could talk about, let's say, like Hollywood. I remember Jamie Foxx when before he, you can say like pre-Oscar Jamie and post-Oscar Jamie.
Yes.
He had
yes.
a CD.
Exactly.
He had a music CD that came out pre-Oscar Jamie that nobody bought. But he kept working at his craft as an actor, and then he got the Oscar. So now whatever he comes out is going to go great. So he came out with CD post-Oscar, and it was a success. So you really should focus on building your core, and whether that's authoring books, sticking to your message. And like Pam said, Michelle Hammond probably wrote 20 books on being singles alone before she wrote her next one. And she also wrote a book about finances that I read, which I thought was good because she kind of gave detail about how she spent a lot of the money she made and some of the mistakes that she made as an author and, you know, different things like that, which I appreciate. Because at that time, when you've already read about 5 or 6 of a person's books, then it becomes personal. You feel like you know them. You want to know what's going on in their life. And you're happy to read whatever they have to share because you kind of know what to expect, that it's going to be something that you'll enjoy.
Right, exactly. So about the conference, in the description, the event description, it states that you ladies are going to let out all the secrets to publishing success, and that's a really big basket. So what are some of the secrets that people will learn?
Well, I know it's a lot. We're going to be there for four hours. We're going to talk about the secrets to becoming a national best-selling author. Everybody wants to know, how do I do it? How do I do it? And we're going to share the process. It's not what you think. Because a lot of times people go by the movies and they go by, you know. So we're going to talk about a lot of the misconceptions about when you get a book deal or how, you know, people think someone that's an author, they're automatically rich overnight. And we're going to go into detail about from both angles, from either if you have a self-published book and you're looking to take it on a national level, we're going to talk about national distribution for that and getting into those bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Family Christian, things like that. But then from traditional publishing, we're going to go into contract, because I know for me personally, I made some mistakes. I'm on my third book contract for my novels, and I made some mistakes with the first contract. And so we're going to talk about that. Just from lack
okay,
of knowledge and not
Kimberly.
Knowing. Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna cut in on you right.
Go
now
ahead.
Because you went exactly where I was gonna go next about the national best-selling author. And what I want to do is let's define that term. And it might sound like an easy thing to understand, but let's define it. And I want to go there because I want to bring out the concept of hitting it locally versus hitting it nationally as an author. So, Pam or Kimberly, just define that term, national best-selling author, and then we're going to bounce off of that.
Well, I'll say this from just a marketing standpoint. I'll let Kim kind of, like, go beyond that. And Kim didn't know this. So when Kim first did her book, He's Fine, But Is He Saved, she did a book, and I think her first book one may have been 2,500 or 5,000. The average author sells about 200 books within a year. So when Kim hit a certain number, she was like, oh, I haven't sold all my books. I forgot what the number was. And it was like, I don't know, maybe like about 2,000 or something like that. And I said, you sell more than the average. And I pulled up the stats and showed her that the average author only sells about 200 books a year. That's local, national, whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the average. So you can see that most people are publishing books, and they're not selling. They're not making any money. They're what they call vanity books. People are just publishing books just for vanity. Now, when you have a publishing contract, the typical amount that they really want you to start out with as a number of really offering your contract is about 10,000 books, okay? So, but if you can self-publish and then do on your own about 5,000 books, you're pretty much, you're in line to, like, just be moving, okay? Because they're looking like, wow, she could do this on her own. Well, all she needs is a little bit more outlets or distribution, and she could probably double that. That's what they consider a bestseller. Now, there's bestseller lists like Essence, or then there's New York Times, and then even New York Times has different lists of different genres. So you can get on those different lists. There's Christian bestsellers list. There's all kind of lists that people on, just like different awards and that sort of thing that you can be a part of. The National Black Book Festival has awards. There's the Christian India Awards. There's the Ben Franklin Awards. There's so many book contests, you know, where you can actually have awards. But in terms of bestsellers, you want to start with at least go above the average, okay, within a year. So I'm going to let Kim kind of start from there.
Okay. Kim, go.
Yeah, and Pam is absolutely right. When I obeyed God and self-published my first book and stepped out on faith and put all that money on a credit card to publish it, because back then there was no print on demand. There was only book manufacturers, so I had to pay. I got 1,000 books, and it was about $3 a piece, and it was all a faith move. And I did not know how many books the average book sold or anything. All I knew is once the book was in stores and connected with some distributors, the demand just kept coming, and it got to the point where the demand was exceeding my ability to even fulfill orders, because a lot of times the distributors have a 30, 60, or 90-day window before they have to pay you, depending on the contract. So people were ordering books that hadn't paid me from their last order, and I had to, you know, keep up on it with the invoices, and it became it was a good problem. I remember I emailed John Kramer, and he's with How to Market Your Book 1,000 Ways, and he sent an e-blast to his list of thousands of people and told of my problem, and I was so embarrassed. But then I found out that was publicity. So I'm like, okay, so that helped me get more sales just from him sharing that. So as far as bestseller, Pam is definitely, what she said is definitely, because I'm thinking about when I shared with the gentleman at the American Christian Writers, he was a board member at the Philadelphia Writers Conference. When I shared with him, I had sold over 10,000 books in a couple of years. He was like, what?
What?
What? And I didn't know. So he was the one that gave me five agents, and one of them, you know, ended up with the first deal and things like that. But I want to mention something as far as national bestsellers. A lot of people don't know. The reason that some authors that you, like the more known ones, like maybe like the Joel Osteens or the T.D. Jakes, it seems like before their book even hits the shelves, it says bestseller already on there.
Right.
The reason for that is because it becomes a bestseller the moment it sells so many copies to the retailer and not to the consumer, not to the customer. So because the book is coming out, they already anticipated being, you know, selling well. So the bookstores are buying in bulk. And so that's how it's become a bestseller. Because every book, this is the interesting thing, books are 100% refundable at any time. So bookstores, a lot of times they order a lot because they know if they don't sell, they just send them back. And I ran into an issue with that with my distributor because they were amazed that my book was selling and that nobody was returning it. That was a blessing. But the other side of that though was they weren't paying me, and I had to get my best friend who's a lawyer. I had to have her draw up a letter in order to get them to pay me. But they paid me all at once. But it was the end of December that they paid me all at once, so I was messed up from my taxes. So that's something else I learned. So I'm going to share all that at the conference, the details, the stuff beyond the glitz and the glam. We're going to talk about contracts. We're going to talk about how you can make a living from just self-publishing and being on Amazon and building your platform. Like, Pam will go into that. So I'm excited.
That people need to know is, you know, how to put together a press kit, how to actually put that together, and we'll actually show what Kim's first one looked like in terms of her sales strategy. And because if a retailer is going to buy your book or distribute your book, they want to know, okay, well, how is she going to promote it? So you need to give them a sales strategy. They feel comfortable with you that, okay, you're not just going to throw your book in God's world and then just be done with it. Okay, they want to know what you're going to do in order to drive people to that book, drive traffic to the store. So that's part of it. Endorsements are part of it. Part of it is, you know, obviously doing media, but also too, this was really Kim's first book was kind of pre-social media, so to speak.
Oh my God!
So Kim, talk about how social media played a big part of that.
Right.
Well, it was pre-social media. However, it was when emails, when people just started doing e-blast, like Black Gossip Promo, and it wasn't as popular. Now it seemed like everybody got an e-blast company, you know, with their business. So that means that more people were opening the emails and the e-blast. And so I got my first out-of-town speaking engagement, which was in the Massachusetts area from an e-blast. They didn't know me from Adam except what they read, like Pam said, in the press materials. You want to have a great website, and we're going to talk about that author photo. I know Pam talks about it often, and we're going to talk about that because I had
this
author photo that I felt got me some interviews and some friends. Because of the you want it to be appealing. I have many friends now that I still keep in contact with that go way back. And that's the other thing, building the relationships, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the trade shows that you need to go to if you're an author. We're going to talk about that because even though we're in the social media world, there's still nothing like one-on-one, face-to-face. And for me personally, that's actually how I've been able to even get deals was from, like, face-to-face. If it was just phone and social media, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, nice face. But when you're face-to-face,
social media just validates
they get to feel you. Yeah, your energy, you know? I'm sorry,
Pam. Yeah, I was saying social media and those other things validate you. Your newsletter, your e-newsletter validates you. Your website validates you. If every touch point that people have with you is good, they really then assume that you're good. If they were to call you and maybe you had some crazy voicemail on your voicemail, so say Kim is an ordained minister, right? She's an ordained minister, and she's talking about you know, being asked before, and she's got some lewd, crazy song, you know, that, you know, I don't even know any of those songs. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Her ringtone was crazy. It doesn't match. And so people will be like, wait a minute, wait.
He doesn't
add up. So everything across the board, your entire brand has to add up because people are watching. They're looking to see if there is a chip in you anywhere.
Wow.
There is it totally. I saw her Facebook post and she was cussing. So the church, you know, someone that, you know, she just blew a gig at speaking at somebody's church conference. You know, so every touch point where people can watch and see and Google will be revealed.
Okay, so at this point, please give the logistical details, the date, the time, the fee, the location, registration. How do people do that?
The website is 3pwriters.com. 3 is in the number 3. P
Pam. You missed the word. You missed the conference part in the website.
Oh, 3pwritersconference.com. 3pwritersconference.com. And it's in an office in Detroit, which is a cool co-working space owned by Katrina Kimbrough, downtown in Detroit, right near Cash Tech. It's called an office in Detroit. But if you go to 3P Writers Conference, say that fast 3 times, you'll see all the details there as well. And also you can go to Kim's website, kimontheweb.com, and hit events, and it's there as well.
Okay. Okay, so it's
this Saturday,
and from 11 to 3, is that it?
No, yes. 11 to 3, definitely. And you want to register in advance because it's limited seating, so you want to reserve your seats. And so register today, and we will both be there and going over everything in detail, everything we shared today and everything that's on the website, 3pwritersconference.com.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with
thank
me, Kimberly.
You,
it was a nice surprise to have you there.
Oh,
I was
thank
a little
you for having us. Thank you. God, he works it out every time.
Yes,
thank
he
you.
Does.
Thank
I'm
you, Andrea.
About
and
that.
You do good. You do good as well. You do an excellent job. I see your freelance articles as well. So we can also
thank
talk
you.
About that as well. As writers who are authors, they also can make a living being freelance writers.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful,
mm-hmm.
wonderful. Ladies, thank you again so much. And I know the conference is going to be wonderful and it's going to change some people's lives and open their eyes. They're going to be walking around with their eyes so big.
Amen.
That's right. That is right. I'm just trying to convince a new author that I know that she needs to be there. So there's somebody that's going to be there that's listening to this. But thank you so much, ladies, and you have a good rest of your night.
All right.
Thanks for
having
us.
Bye-bye.
You are welcome. Bye-bye now. And again, I want to thank Pam Perry and Kimberly Brooks for being with me. And be sure to check out their conference, the 3P Writers Conference, Publish, Promote, and Profit. Their conference website is 3pwritersconference.com. It is this Saturday. Anybody interested in writing who has already written, you need to be there because they are going to drop some truth bombs on you that is going to change your writing career. And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com and on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 to hear more literary good stuff. I am Andrea Daniel, thanking you out there for listening. I really do appreciate you, and I want you to have a good rest of your evening and live a good story. And if you're so inclined, write about it. You all take care. Good night.